reading this morning is in John chapter 1, the first part of our reading, John chapter 1, verse 1 to 8, and that's on page 1063. John chapter 1, verse 1 to 8, and that's on page 1063. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. This is the word of God.
Thank you very much, Rachel, for reading. And if you want to keep your Bibles open, we will be looking at that passage in two little chunks over the next few minutes. My name is John T., one of the ministers here. And let me pray as we start this morning. Father, thank you for your word, and we ask that you would help us to understand it and to live in the light of it today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I need a little bit of help. I've very carefully hidden four pictures around this room, and whether you're old or young, if you bring me one of those pictures, I will give you a lollipop. Old or young, please don't cry if you don't find one. There's one more. Okay, excellent. We're all done. The Sinclair family has won. There's three of them. Okay. Let's have a look at these pictures. What have we got? Okay, they're going to come up on the screen just in case you can't see them. So the first one we're going to look at is... Go for it, Trevor. Okay, we've got... Come to the front, Aaron. What have you got? Actually, where's the microphone? Let's see. What have you got here?
Aeroplane thingamajiggy.
It's an aeroplane thingamajiggy. So we've got this little thing down here saying last call. Do you know what that means, last call?
The last time you can board.
Anyone seen that sign for their? Yes, unnerving. Okay, next one. What's the next one we've got? Ah, Lucy, what have you got here?
The son, which is Harry, and his engaged person.
And his wife-to-be, yes, Meghan.
Meghan Markle.
The son, she's the one. Very exciting. 2018, the royal wedding. Okay. Navon, do you know what you've got? Lorcan, sorry. Incredibles. Now, which Incredibles film is this? Incredibles 2, coming soon. Okay, now yours is probably the hardest, Aidan. Do you know what this is?
No, I think it's a fish and chips and Mediterranean cuisine shop. I think, I'm not sure, I could be wrong.
Does anyone
and it's about to be opened
it's about
soon.
To be opened. Does anyone recognise this sign? When they say soon, so maybe we can get the next picture, please. I've been waiting for this fish and chip shop for about a year plus. I don't know what's happening, but hopefully it's coming soon. Now, if everyone can hold your photos up. Now, the big question is, what do these four photos all have in common? Nice and loud? Announcing something coming soon. Very good. Okay, you guys can taste. Actually, let's give you your lollipops. Let's be true to my word. Here we go. There we go. So one for you, one for you. Give them a round of applause. Grab a seat. Okay, so all of those pictures were about announcing something that's happening soon. And our passage is also about someone announcing something that was going to happen soon. And I want you to have a look down at verses 6 to 8. I want you to do the hard work this morning. I've had far too much turkey this Christmas. I'm tired. I want you to do the hard work. There's three questions I want you to answer. You can answer them by yourself or with your neighbour. Three questions from verses 6 to 8. Who is announcing? What are they announcing? And who sent them to announce? Okay, I'm going to give you a couple of minutes. Who's announcing? What are they announcing? Who sent them to announce? A few moments. Maybe one more minute. Okay, let's go. I'm sorry, there are no sugary rewards for this part. Who's doing the announcing? Anyone got an answer? Mayla, go for it.
John's announcing.
John's announcing. Excellent, we saw that. So there's a man sent from God whose name was John. He came to do some announcing. Who is he announcing? Aaron.
He's announcing the coming of Jesus.
The coming of Jesus. Where do we see that? Verse 7. Everyone look down. He came as a witness to testify or to announce or to speak about that light. And we find that later that light is Jesus. Now, final question. New person. Who sent him to announce? Reuben. It's a big one.
God sent them to announce.
Excellent. Everyone see that in verse 6? There's a man sent from God. His name was John. So big point. God sent John the Baptist, like one of these signs, to announce that Jesus was coming into the world. Jesus, the light of the world. Now, there's a principle when you're announcing stuff, which is this. The more important the thing that you're announcing, the bigger and more kind of impressive and spectacular the announcement is. So I want to show you this principle. So two announcements we have this year. On the left here we have our very own, he gave me permission to do this by the way. So David, our youth minister, became engaged to lovely Lucy. If you've never seen her, that's Lucy, there's David there. Now when he wanted to announce his engagement, David, first of all, put it up on Facebook. And actually, latterly, he's put it in the Times as well. Yeah, very posh indeed. So, pretty big, but to be honest, not many people, apart from his Facebook friends and a couple of people who bought the Times, are interested in that. So that's appropriate. It's only a small wedding. However, when Harry and Meghan want to announce their wedding, they splash all over the global media. The bigger the event, the more spectacular the announcement. So what do you think God would do when he wants to tell the world that he's about to do the biggest thing since creation? When he's about to send his son into the world, the light, the life, the saviour of the world. Well, he doesn't just kind of send a little tweet or write a telegram or even put it in the paper. Look down at verse 7. What does God do? He decides to send a person whose whole life was dedicated to one aim, preparing people to meet Jesus. John came as a witness to testify concerning that light so that through him all might believe. This is not the first person who testified to the light. Actually, ever since Genesis 3:15, God's been saying, one day I'm going to come, one day I'm going to send someone who's going to undo what Adam started. One day I'm going to send someone who's going to save the world. One day I'm going to send someone who's going to show the world what I'm like and what I'm going to do. But John was unique because he was able to say, look, he's here, the Savior, the Lamb of God, God on earth, the most significant thing to ever happen since creation. In our next talk, we're going to think about why it is that John had to come to point to Jesus. But for now, we're going to stand and sing a song which picks up some of the themes in John chapter 1. Let's stand and sing.
The second part of our reading is still in John chapter 1. verse 9 to 13. Still on page 1063. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. This is the word of God.
So, we've seen that John the Baptist was sent by God, and the sole purpose of his life was to point to the light that was going to come, to point to Jesus. Because Jesus was that significant that God wanted to make sure that no one missed him when he came. And the question we're going to answer in this second half is, well, what is so significant about Jesus? Why is it that someone's whole life could be dedicated to making sure that no one misses this guy? But before we do that, there's a suite involved in this. I need someone who's brave. When I say brave, I mean really brave. If you cry, you sure? Will? Be brave. Okay, mate. There's something in this box. Don't get too close yet. There's something in this box, and I want you to put your hand in this box with your eyes closed, okay? You up for it? Wait, give me a sec. I just need to prepare it. And go gently, okay? Wait, I want you to close your eyes. Wait, close your eyes. Close your eyes. Put your hand in the box. What can you feel? Keep going. Keep going. It's quite far down. What is it? Okay, that's fine. There's nothing in it. Well done. I think you deserve two. You deserve two. Well done, Will. Glenn, you should be proud. That guy, he was bold. He didn't care. He just put his hand in. It was amazing. Okay, let's be honest. Who here is scared of the dark? Come on, be honest. I know half of you are. Come on. Who's scared of the dark? Okay. Many of us at least were scared of the dark. Some of us are still scared of the dark. And that's because the darkness is scary, isn't it? It's scary because we don't know what's there. And we don't know what might be lurking in the box. And actually it can be dangerous. In the dark, we can do harm to ourselves. We can injure ourselves. But the Bible says there's something more scary than physical darkness. That's spiritual darkness. Sad tragedy, as we thought about in the video earlier, is that many people walk around in this earth not knowing who they are, not knowing the God who made them, not knowing the God who one day they will face and have to give an account for their life. This world is in spiritual darkness, but John came to point out something about Jesus which is wonderful. Can you look down at verses 7 to 9, please? And again, a little bit of an exercise for you. How many times in verses 7 to 9, I've got one more sweet to give out, one more sweet. How many times in 7 to 9 does John use the word light? Three is incorrect. In verses 7 to 9, right at the back. Five. This is for you, young man. Five. Five times he says it. Let's look at it carefully. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that... Oh, he's coming for it now, okay? There we go, brother. I did say I'll give it to him. Excellent, excellent. Verse 7. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light one, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light, too. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light, for... that gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. John the writer wants us to be very clear The first wonderful thing about Jesus is that he's the light. He's the one who shows us God. He is the light. Through him, we can know what God's like. We can know who we are. We can know what he thinks about us. We can know what's going to happen after we die. Jesus is the light of the world. But there's something more wonderful and more mind-blowing about who Jesus is, which is why John came, so that we wouldn't miss who Jesus is. And we're going to look at it in verse 12 in a second. And if the person next to you maybe just nodded off or started eating their sweet, make sure they concentrate, because this bit is phenomenal. I want you to play a game with me. I want you to finish this sentence. Don't look down. Next slide, please. John says in verse 12, don't look down. To those who believe in his name, he gave something. And I wonder how you would answer or finish this sentence. I wonder how many of the people in the street would finish this sentence. To those who believe in his name, to those who became Christians, Jesus gave them something. What does Jesus give us? I guess some people would say Jesus gives us kind of rules. Pay your taxes, be nice to your neighbours, don't swear. Some people would say Jesus gave us religion. Come to church, particularly at kind of Easter and Christmas, pay money into charity, read your Bible regularly. I guess some of us who are a bit more familiar with Christian things would say Jesus gave us forgiveness. If we trust in him, he will wipe our debts clean because he died in our place on the cross. And that's true, maybe truer than the others. I guess some of us who are well-versed in the Christian faith would say Jesus gave us relationship with God. And that's true, but it doesn't go as far as verse 12. Look down at verse 12 with me. What has Jesus given us? Yet to all who did receive him, that's Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. What's the answer? To those who believe in Jesus' name, to those who become Christians, he gives the right to become children of the living God. I guess if you read that verse before, it's very familiar. But if you think about it for a second, it's mind-blowing. To those who believe in Jesus' name, he doesn't just give you stuff to do. He doesn't even just kind of forgive you. He doesn't even just give you a relationship, like a king to their subject or a creator with a creature. He gives you the most wonderfully intimate relationship possible. The relationship between a father and a child. John, the writer here, is saying, Jesus came into the world that we might become children of God. Just put your hand up if you're a child here. Hint, that's all of us. We're all children. Okay, so we all have some understanding. Oh, we are all children, aren't we? Okay, yeah. We all have some understanding of what it means to have a relationship with a father or a parent. And I guess some of that might kind of colour our understanding of this. Some of us, as we think about our dad, think, I hope that God is a better dad than my dad. And the great news is that the God of this universe is in a different category to any father who's ever walked the face of this earth. Might be some of you thinking, my dad's amazing. I can't imagine God being a better dad than my dad. The great news of the gospel is that the God of this universe is in a different category to any father who's ever walked this earth. God is perfectly powerful. God is gigantically generous. God is ferociously fair. He's constantly caring, and he's lavishly loving. And John the Baptist was sent so that we wouldn't miss this, that through Jesus we can become children of God. We can know that the living God who made this universe knows us and cares about us and will take care of us until the day when we meet him face to face. One writer said, this idea of us becoming children of God is the apex of grace and privilege. It's the highest gift that anyone could give us. It's the highest privilege that could be bestowed on a person. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And as I end, I just want to read a quote by a guy called James Packer. Some of us are reading his book in Toolbox. It's a really helpful quote in terms of bedding down in our minds how important it is, this idea that we can become children of God. Let me just read it for us. Our understanding of Christianity cannot be better than our grasp of adoption. If you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as his father. And this is the important bit. If this is not the thought that prompts and controls his worship and prayers and the whole outlook on life, it means that he does not understand Christianity very well at all. So, question. There might be some of us here who think to ourselves as we come into a church at the end of 2017, do you know what? I'm not worthy to be a child of God. John, you don't know what I've done in my life. You don't know the way I treat my parents. You don't know what I do at school. You don't know what I'm really like deep down. I'm not worthy to be a child of God. And to that, the gospel writer John would say, you're entirely right. You know, as we went through, that many rejected Jesus. And we reject Jesus every day in our lives by the way that we treat others and the things that we think and the things that we do. And actually, if God gave us what we deserve, he would cast us out of his presence forever. But because Jesus came and lived the perfect life and died the death that we should die, he says, verse 12, that all who believe in his name have the right to become children of God. In and of yourself, you have no right to even come anywhere near God. But the great news this morning is that if today you believe in Jesus' name, if you say, I trust in what he did for me, I want to receive what he offers to me, you can wake up tomorrow in 2018 with the right, the legal right of a child of God. It'd be a wonderful thing to do, a wonderful way to start the new year. We have no rights before God. Maybe some of us are here and we're Christians, and we're tired of life, tired of the Christian life. Maybe there's part of us just thinks, wouldn't it be easier for me to just stop? Wouldn't it be easier for me to just walk away? And you're right, the Christian life isn't easy. It wasn't easy for Jesus, the author and founder of our faith. It wasn't easy for any of his disciples. But I guess the encouragement and the challenge to us from verse 12 and from Packer's quote is don't think that being a Christian is a small thing. It's no small thing. You're a child of the living God. He's for you and not against you. And whatever else you face this year, never forget that. Let that control your worship and your prayers and your whole outlook on life. If you've trusted in Jesus, you're no less than a child of the living God. Maybe there's some of us here who are just worried about 2018, worried about family, worried about school, worried about work, worried about money. And those are things worth worrying about, aren't they? They're important things to us. They affect our lives. They affect the people who we love. But my encouragement to you today, again, is verse 12. Let this control your outlook on life. Even though there's many things for us to worry about, many things to be concerned about, many things to be down about, let this control your outlook on life. He gave the right to become a child of God. The God who called this world into existence, if you believe and trust in Jesus, is your Father. And he loves you, and he cares for you, and he will walk with you in this year. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Let's pray. Father, we come to you as your children, and we praise you that we are forgiven, more than that, that we know you, more than that, that we are your children, and you're for us, and you're with us, and you'll take us to be with you. For those who don't know this, Lord, this new year, we pray that you would open their eyes. And for those of us who do know this, but falteringly or forgetfully, we pray that you give us just a rock-solid confidence that because of Jesus, we have the right to call you our Father. And may we walk with that, and may we meditate on that through the coming years. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.